One of those favorite father-son activities that span generations is when a dad takes their son to a baseball game. And as a kid and a teenager, that meant for me going to see some Atlanta Braves baseball. Here's a picture of my favorite player, Ryan Klesko. Long since retired, I'm old. And as a kid, I liked him for years. And then during my first ever Braves game in person, his first at bat, no lie, this is the truth, he hit a home run to the section right next to me. I almost passed out. Couldn't believe it. Growing up, our family lived a couple hours from Atlanta, so we knew enough about the city, but we weren't very familiar with it. And so after a Braves game one night, my dad and I headed out of town, got on the interstate. 30 minutes later, we stopped off at a gas station. That probably meant, if I remember right, me looking for the biggest Mountain Dew I could possibly find in the store. And as we headed home, got back on the interstate, I was amazed at how big the city of Atlanta was. I told my dad, I never remember the skyline of the city stretching out this far before. We've been traveling for 30 minutes now, and these skyscrapers is just as big as we were when we were downtown. My dad says something like, man, they must have really been building since the last time we were here. It was about at this time that we realized something. We had seen all this stuff before. When we left the gas station, we got back on the interstate, but we were traveling right back into the city. We were going the wrong way. The city of Atlanta had not built a new downtown. We were stupid. Culturally speaking, this is an embarrassing moment for two men. We pride ourselves knowing how to get where we're supposed to be going. We agreed that night that we would never tell anyone the story. When you agree to never tell someone a story, that usually means it's going to make a great sermon illustration. So sorry, Dad, if you listen to this sermon later on, I kept our secret for 20 years. I couldn't hold on any longer. Where you go is obviously important. Where you go to find God, well, that's even more significant. It seems that many people, in their desire to live life well and reach God, attempt to plot their own course. Many have decided on their own how they will reach God. If you work hard in this life, maybe you'll reach God. If you fill your life with good deeds and get baptized, well, then maybe you'll get to God. If you attend church often enough, hey, we're doing that right now, then maybe you're fairly certain to get to God then. There are many different religions that tell their followers the right way to get to God. These are very different ways that apparently all reach the same destination. So what is it? Is there a right way? And if so, what does following the right way even look like? I'm thankful that I don't have to figure out the way to God by myself. God himself tells me. So when I open up his word, he tells me the path to take to reach him forever. Turn in your Bibles with me to John 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible underneath one of the chairs nearby. You'll find the passage we'll be reading on page 901. This passage contains another I am statement from Jesus. An I am statement is Jesus describing himself. And this one in John 14, well, it's possibly the most famous one of them all. Can I set the scene for us? The disciples of Jesus are extremely discouraged. Depression in the first century, we might just have at least 11 cases when we get to John 14. Why are the disciples sad? First of all, Jesus has been repeatedly telling them he was going away really soon. In John 7, 33 and 34, it says this, Jesus then said to the disciples, I will be with you a little longer, and I'm going to him who sent me. You will seek me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. He repeats this in chapter 8. again twice in chapter 12, and then another time in chapter 13. The disciples were getting the message. Jesus was leaving. The disciples didn't understand why he was going, but they were gathering this. Jesus was not going to be here for much longer. We have to remember that these disciples, they went all in on Jesus, right? They left their way of life to be on the side of King Jesus. Now, just a couple years later, it's all over? That did not sound like good news to them. It got worse. Jesus started talking to them in John 12 about his upcoming death. The disciples knew that without Jesus, they were in danger. He was the one doing the miracles. He was the one the crowds wanted to hear. But there were powerful people that despised Jesus, despised his followers. They were known associates of Jesus, and the disciples would soon become wanted men. In chapter 13, Jesus tells the disciples that one of them is going to turn traitor and betray Jesus. We find out later that's Judas. Then Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to deny that you ever knew me." And if you look in the Gospel of Luke, you find out that the devil is on the attack against the disciples. Jesus told Peter, "Satan, he's demanding to have you." So when we come to Jesus' words in John 14, we have to understand the picture the disciples were facing. Maybe the disciples, they were ready to quit. Maybe they were ready to toss in the towel, go back to their families, pretend that this era of their lives, it never really happened. The disciples were down for the count. They were dreary and discouraged. They were depressed. But then, in steps Jesus. The whole chapter of John 14 is filled with response after response of the Son of God caring for his children in ways that were unsurpassed, incomparable. In fact, can we read this whole chapter together? I think it's worth it to read this all together. Now, it's 31 verses. Now, I tell my teenagers sometimes when we read a long passage of Scripture, sometimes when you get 10, 12 seconds into it, you start to fade real fast. So can I encourage you to step in and read this chapter with me, John 14, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Maybe you noticed in chapter 14, as Jesus began talking, his first words to his discouraged group of disciples, he tells them not to be troubled. After all they heard about Jesus leaving, their belief was shaken. No doubt the disciples had discussed and talked about Jesus' soon departure. They were fearful of what was going to become. Jesus' words give us a good response to fear and discouragement. Are you troubled? Well, believe in me. Keep believing in God. But it's not a blind faith. It's not a wandering around in the dark type of faith. God equips us with everything we need to follow after him. And Jesus is about to do the same with the disciples and for us in this chapter. He's going to equip the disciples by arming them with the truth. And we're going to see how he does this right now with his followers. Jesus consoles them, but not with a there, everything's going to be all right type of response. No, he gives them the truth. They were sad he was going to leave. So Jesus tells them what he's going to be doing while he's away. He's preparing a place for his followers at his Father's house. He was going to prepare heaven for everyone that follows him. Maybe you noticed that Jesus tells us that he has many rooms for those that believe. Why does Jesus make sure to tell the disciples that there are a lot of rooms? Jesus is indicating there's room for all those who follow him. There will be plenty of space for all who believe. No one who follows Jesus will be excluded from this eternal home of God. FBC, your journey through this world is a temporary one. And even though we know it's temporary, we claw and sweat and focus so much on the temporary things of our temporary journey. I have a 6 or 7 minute commute from my house to the church facility here. It's a pretty short one. What if on my way to work, I decided I wanted the absolute best commute possible? Well, no doubt, on my way to work, the first stop would be at Medford Motors. And you know the car I'm going to purchase. It's that truck that's pointed up on that rocky ledge, sticking straight up into the sky. It's so cool. That one makes me calculate how I can afford the monthly payment every time I drive by it. And don't lie, every man in here is in the same thing. I purchased that truck because I want the best commute possible. After signing the paperwork, I head over to Arby's and I get an order of mozzarella sticks. No, two orders of mozzarella sticks. Swing by County Market next for a huge container of those cheese balls. And because I want the greatest possible commute, I stop by Moosey's for a triple scoop, because Culver's isn't open yet. And so with cheese-stained fingers and cookie dough ice cream dripping off my face, I roll into church with 500 more horsepower than I actually need. But by the time I get to work, the workday was done. I could have hopped into my little Hyundai and driven where I was supposed to go. but I spent all my time trying to ensure my happiness on my short commute. We are often so focused on making sure our temporary commute in this life is so good and free of conflict. But Jesus has the bigger, more eternal picture in mind. The disciples were discouraged, but Jesus is saying, I've got something better. I'm preparing a place for you. It's so personal. He wants us to be with him. This is amazing, FBC. I don't want to be with me sometimes, yet God wants me to be with him forever. That demands a response of praise in our hearts to God. This way that Jesus is going sounds so good to the weary disciples that they want crystal clear directions. They want what Jesus is offering. How can we know the way? Jesus responds with his I am statement. Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6 is the message of the Gospel of John. Jesus is the way. His way is beautiful, and it's worth following. It's what Jesus has been saying to them all along in his other I am statements. He wants them to believe that he's the bread of life, that he's the light of the world, that he's the door for the sheep. He's the good shepherd, and he's the resurrection and the life. Through our faith in God, Jesus is the way to salvation, that when I repent of my sins and believe by faith that Jesus is my Savior through his work on the cross, I'm rescued from the penalty of my sins, and I can reach God the Father. My FBC family, please listen. There aren't many ways to God. There's just one. John 8:24 says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, the one that Jesus claims to be, the Son of God, you will die in your sins. These are difficult words to hear. Rejecting Jesus means death, separation from God. But even in this warning, did you notice the hope? There is a way not to die in your sins. While our sins should bring us death, there's life in following Jesus. Jesus is the exclusive way to know and to reach God. What does this mean? Well, it means that other ways to find God are wrong. It means that Jesus is the answer to life's most critical needs, the way to salvation, truth to follow, life now and forevermore. Jesus provides the way to God. This passage shows us that we must understand what Jesus is saying. To reach God, you must follow Jesus. When I hear these words from John 14, I feel a sense of thankfulness that God would give me a life where I've heard these words many times, and I'm believing them, and I keep wanting them. If you've been a part of FBC for any length of time, you've heard the call to follow Jesus. Praise God that you've heard the good news of our Lord. I also feel a need to be courageous too. There are many that do not understand and have not heard that Jesus is the way. But you know what? Sharing the exclusive way to God in an all-inclusive world where everyone has their own truth and everybody's thoughts are right for them, speaking Jesus is the only way, that's not going to win you fans in all walks of life. Speaking of Jesus as the only way of truth and life may cause you to be viewed as ignorant or arrogant. So while speaking the truth, Jesus calls us to be gentle and humble. Listen to these words that Paul spoke to Timothy. I'll put them on the screen. He says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Why do that? What's the motivation to be gentle to someone who perhaps isn't very gentle to me? The next verse gives us the answer. God may perhaps grant them, your opponents, repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Your humility and gentleness and speaking of the way of Jesus, God uses that to change hearts, to turn to Him, drawing people to repent of their sins and find Jesus as the way to salvation. You know what? The I am the way teaching from Jesus became so important for believers to understand that this phrase, the way, literally became the nickname for following Jesus. Six times in the book of Acts, we see this phrase, the way. Jesus calls himself the way. And believers, they start doing the same thing. The early church was so convinced that of this truth, that Jesus was the way to salvation, it became their motto, their lingo, to remind themselves of Jesus' promise. You know, it was so well known that Paul, though even prior to his conversion to Christianity, when he was persecuting Christians, he used the phrase himself too. Jesus' desire for us to follow him as the way leads us to the benefits of salvation that we see in the rest of the verse in John 14, 6. Truth and life. Jesus is the truth. This isn't new information for the disciples. The disciples have actually already heard this. Just a few chapters ago, Jesus was talking in John 8. He says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Do you remember the verse that I put on the screen just a few minutes ago from John 8? It said that sin would bring death. Just a few verses later, with the verse that you see on the screen now, Jesus wipes out the death threat. Sin no longer has you in bondage. Sin is no longer dragging you towards hell. Sin does not control you anymore. Through the way of Jesus, knowing God means that you are liberated from sin. You are free to live for Jesus. Jesus is the way, brings you truth. Jesus is the life, right now and forevermore. You know, we've talked about Jesus preparing a place for his followers, eternal life with Jesus. And we ought to rightfully praise God for his mercy that he would show us that way. But we also don't want to miss that not only is our Jesus our life right now, but he's also our life in the future. And we need to think about daily walking with our Jesus because he's our life right now. Sometimes we are looking for God to show up in massive, incredible ways. But don't miss this. Jesus wants to be your I am every day. Life happens with Jesus as you daily walk with him. Life with Jesus can happen when you serve him in the nursery on Sunday morning. Life with Jesus happens when you speak to your children or your grandchildren about the wonders of God. Kids and teenagers, life with Jesus can happen when you see someone at school who's sad and discouraged, maybe in the hall or at lunch, and rather than going on your way or catching up on your Instagram feed, you stop and you show kindness and care for someone who's hurting. Life with Jesus happens when you open up his word and you read it so you can know God just a little bit more. FBC, realize that life with Jesus is happening right now, and there is much, much good for you to do when you follow him. But following the way of Jesus will be difficult. How will Jesus help me? You know, my son, Carson, has a pretty set bedtime routine. We have our Bible time and we pray, and then we watch a Dude Perfect video. If you don't know who Dude Perfect is, don't try to find out, or you'll become like my boys, hopelessly addicted to. Carson has a certain number of things that he needs to get ready for bed. The nightlight needs to be on. The noise machine needs to be going. His fluffy pillow needs a little fluffing. A cup of water on standby in case of dry mouth in the night. On his bed, he might need his calculator. I don't know why you need that during the night. Couple books, his two blankets, maybe just a couple of toys. You might think, all this to get a child to bed? Well, if that's what it takes, for 10 hours of sleep, resulting in uninterrupted marital bliss for Melissa and I. Oh man, I'm all for that. Maybe I've gone overboard in giving Carson many things for him to fall asleep, but I'm his dad. I love him. I want Carson to have everything he needs to sleep well. What happens when you follow the way? Be amazed at the power of the words of Jesus in John 14. Can I say this in a godly way? Jesus has gone overboard for you. He wants you to have life and have it abundantly. He's able to do far more abundantly than we ask or we think. This is why we read all of John 14 this morning. This chapter is brimming with truth and promises for the faithful of the way. Just look at this chapter and all the good things that Jesus says he will do. I'm going to list them off for me. If you want to follow along quickly in your Bible, you can. In verse 1, Jesus offers hope for our troubled hearts. In verse 2, Jesus is preparing a place for us. In verse 3, Jesus will take us to the place he's preparing personally. In verse 6, Jesus is the way to come to God. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus will answer you and help you. In verse 16, Jesus will ask the Father for help for every child of his. In verse 18, Jesus will not leave us. In verse 21, Jesus will love all those that follow him. In verse 26, in the name of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit will be with us and teach us everything we need to know about God. In verse 27, Jesus will surround us with peace during difficult times. In verse 29, Jesus has told us all we need to know to believe. In verse 30, Jesus cannot be defeated by Satan. He has no claim on him. The response from Jesus to the disciples caused an increase of joy. Promises of Jesus should spark praise. This is the first time you're hearing these promises, you can praise God. If this is the 100th time you've heard these words, you can continue to praise God. Marvel at the good work of Jesus, abundantly caring for his children as they follow after the way. Because life following Jesus is not some bleak existence. Jesus is here to be God right now and for the all-time future. So what do? This chapter started with a discouraged group of followers. This chapter ends quite differently. Look at the last two verses, 30 and 31. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. The ruler of this world's coming. That's Satan. The devil is moving in for an attack, but he can't beat our Jesus. So disciples, he says, let's go. Where does Jesus go? The story picks up again in John 18. He goes to the garden where he'll be arrested and beaten and killed to rescue mankind for God's glory. But by being killed, Jesus killed sin for us. Sin's power is gone. Sin's curse is broken. We've been set free because Jesus did not stay dead. King Jesus, well, he's alive. He's preparing a place for you. And what does Jesus do at the end of the chapter? He tells his disciples to come with him, and he walks towards his fight for us. Can we do the same? Can we walk with Jesus and go kill sin? Satan has no claim on the followers of Jesus, so let's move forward. After reading and studying this chapter, I'm convinced that God has so much good for us right now. God has much good for the First Baptist Church of Medford right now. So let us purpose in our hearts to follow the way. Because when we see the way of Jesus as beautiful and good, sin becomes really ugly. When we see the way of Jesus as beautiful and good, it becomes worth having a conversation with your coworker or your neighbor about why you go to church. Teens, when you see the way of Jesus as beautiful and good, it changes obeying mom and dad from a chore to a way to honor God. When we see the way of Jesus as beautiful and good, whatever we do, in word or in deed, We do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I would like to close with a prayer, but it's not written by me. It's written by a man named Erasmus, a Christian who lived 500 years ago. It makes me smile that the same Jesus who called Erasmus to follow him is calling to us to believe as well. The prayer of Erasmus regarding John 14 is good and true. I'm going to put it on the screen right now. It says this, O Lord Jesus Christ, you have said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Suffer us not to stray from you who are the way, nor distrust you who are the truth, nor to rest in anything other than you who are the life. That's God's word for us today.